It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, here we go, here we go. Coming to you live from the greatest country in the world. Broadcasting from the tippy top of the world famous Fox News headquarters in New York City, it is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, a man who did not just have the bond reduced in his real estate trial. Dig this. New York Attorney General Letitia James thought today would be the day she began seizing Donald Trump's assets.
Wrong.
A judge just moments, I mean literally seconds before we went on the air, just reduced the penalty from $454 million. That was the bond they wanted him to post. They're now asking that he post $175 million. And we have this soundbite in from MSNBC. Oh, it's going to be a rough day for the Trump haters on the radio. That being said, you're all welcome here. I'm not doing a conservative talk show. I'm doing an American talk show.
Freedom!
That's the deal. Everybody's welcome. Agree, disagree, anywhere in between.
I don't care where you come from. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how dumb you are.
No, ma'am. On this program, you can be a Republican. You can be a Democrat. You can be a Libertarian. You can be an Independent. Just don't be a... Boom! There it is. Happy Monday. And it's going to be a chippy one. Sean Duffy's coming by. He's a cable news super hunk, former Wisconsin congressman, now hosts The Bottom Line here on the Fox Business Network. He's going to give us a take on this real estate trial that involved Trump, of course, being initially asked to post a $454 million bond because he was found guilty of fraud despite the fact that no bank is claiming fraud.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Well, it was always a scam, but as Trump tweeted, or Truth Social anyway, moments ago, this is now the fifth time in this trial that either the judge or the prosecutors have been overturned. Okay, meaning this trial doesn't really have any integrity.
That's true. That is true.
And I'm only saying that because, again, if you charge somebody for murder, it's because, sadly, someone has died. In this case, they're trying to seize his assets, take away his business license, the financial equivalent of murder, but there's no actual bank claiming they were harmed.
That's not right.
And it becomes even less right when you get past the politics. Of course, it would seem like a weaponized prosecution in this case, because Letitia James ran for office on the vow to prosecute Donald Trump. She found the man before she found the crime and hung her hat on that, and that's how she got elected. But then you just understand how many really sick, disturbed people got out of bed today, and they were just so thrilled that something vindictive could be happening to Trump. Maybe we'll take his golf course. Maybe they'll go out and padlock Trump Tower. Wouldn't that be great, honey? That's who these people are. And understand, okay, if it comes to that, and they seize his businesses, you know who suffers? Not him. The guy's a billionaire. He lives at Mar-a-Lago. Truth Social's about to go public. It'd probably be worth another $3 billion on paper. You know who actually suffers if you target Trump? The little guy.
Bingo.
Okay, the little guy who might work at Trump Tower. The little guy who might work at a Westchester golf course. The little guy who might work someplace like Mar-a-Lago. They're the ones that actually get screwed when the business is forced to close. Yeah, Trump takes a hit on paper. Yeah, he's down a little more money in the bank. But at the end of the day, this is not going to end with him living next to some of my relatives in the trailer park. Although it'd be funny to watch. That's a good series. And I got to be honest with you, I'm never talking down on the trailer parks. They're having all the fun. America. America wins, okay? When you travel the country, the people who say America, okay, America, they're not fun to party with. America. That's where the good action is.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
And America, the people who root for Trump, definitely got a win today because they were counting on nuking this guy's business empire. They were counting vindictively on putting all of these people out of a job. And that's the part I try to, you know, kind of alert everybody to every dang day when I get on the radio, is all of this political infighting, all this lawfare targeted at the Trump man, okay? It never actually affects the people at the top of the chain. It always gets the people at the bottom. So this is a win for the little guy who might be working someplace like Trump Tower. Okay, because none of the property is going to get seized. I repeat, none of Trump's property is going to be actually seized. As the president announced moments ago, they will post a bond or they will post actual cash for $175 million within the next 10 days. So that's getting paid, and everyone over at MSNBC who thought today was, you know, Caesar-palooza, nothing. 888-788-9910 if you want to discuss it with us. It's going to be one of them days. Here is Trump outside the courtroom moments ago. Clip one.
Thank you very much, everybody. Did you get in the bond picture? This is a witch hunt. It's a hoax. Thank you.
This is a witch hunt. This is a hoax.
Tell him like it is.
Listen to me. I don't care if you hate Trump. You're welcome on my show. You're not my enemy. You're my teammate. We live in America. If there's a war tomorrow, heaven forbid we get invaded, guess what? We're all on the same team. So I don't play the whole game of like, liberals are the enemy. The bad guys are already here. I'm not doing that. It's so reductive and cheap. And if you truly care about this country and its future, you need to stop characterizing the people who disagree with you as enemies sent here to destroy us from within. Yes, there are a lot of people out there with bad ideas. Okay. And yes, some of them happen to be in Congress. Okay, I live in New York where you can't call someone an idiot anymore. You have to call them AOC.
AOC is a dope.
So here's our congresswoman last night, all excited, okay, making the case on State of the Union that you gotta seize this property. You gotta do this. You don't understand. There's a real risk if it doesn't happen. That's what she said. Clip four.
It is my belief that all people should be treated equally under the law. And if that seizure of assets would be pursued to any other American, then Donald Trump should be treated the same. As far as the political implications, I actually think that there is risk in not seizing these assets and the open window that exists in him trying to secure these funds through other means. We've seen a lot of interesting transactions happening with Truth Social and other means, and there's a very real risk of political corruption.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
That's a fair question to ask. Because every time a Democrat gives you the old, everyone should be treated equally under the law. All right, fair. Well, then we should probably acknowledge that in the history of real estate, Donald Trump would be the first human being ever prosecuted for this type of offense.
Oh, wow.
So is he actually being treated equally? Now he's being punitively targeted. But here is AOC saying, well, this is okay because Trump ordered a terrorist attack on the Capitol. That's the claim.
You are so full of sh.
Here it is, clip five.
Has there ever been a president, Republican or Democrat, that has been subject to this level of criminal charges, indictments, and investigations? This is not about party. This is not about politics. This is about corruption and criminality. We're talking about an individual who ordered essentially a terrorist attack on the Capitol of the United States in order to retain power.
That was embarrassing.
He ordered a terrorist attack on the Capitol.
Not even close.
Oh, and you hate when those unarmed terrorists bring their grandmothers, their weirdo cousins in Chewbacca hats. Okay, and try to overthrow the most powerful military in the world with no weapons. Again, January 6th is bad, and I'm not okay with it because I'm not okay with any political violence. Okay, the Democrats, of course, spent the entire summer of 2020 cheering it on. To this day, Kamala Harris has a tweet up encouraging people to bail out the violent protesters in Minneapolis.
Kamala's awful with her weird laugh.
Ha ha!
But understand, for whatever you think of January 6th, it was not a terrorist attack on the Capitol. It was bad. shouldn't have happened. And I'm just as mad at the, you know, people that were there that I am at the feds that were there. Okay, but no one listening, no one in AOC's position can actually back up the claim that he ordered anyone to attack the Capitol. The verbatim is he gave a speech that go down there and peacefully protest, let your voices be heard. I got to be honest, folks. I sadly had the unfortunate experience of living in New York on September 11th. I promise you, Osama bin Laden did not orchestrate it by telling them to go down to the World Trade Center, peacefully protest, and let their voices be heard. Because that's not what you do when you're launching a terrorist attack. That's what you do when you're trying to maintain calm. Okay? Trump did not say, attack the towers. But this idea that we should be seizing his assets based on an AOC claim that he did is what they're telling you in this moment right now. I mean, dude.
Well, that's the dumbest thing I've heard of.
This is what you have to get. This is all you have to get. You don't have to like Trump. You could hate Trump so much. You got options in this election. Okay, RFK Jr. is running. Joe Biden announced that he's running again.
I don't remember that ever happening.
But it did. He's on the ticket. You got Biden. You got RFK Jr. There'll probably be a no-labels candidate. Trump will be there. I'm not saying you got to vote for any of them. You do whatever the hell you want. It's not my job.
This guy will say anything.
You're damn right I will. I don't owe any politician my loyalty. Stop it. Okay, but understand that there is a manufactured hysteria around Donald Trump that resonates with people who hate themselves. We're talking self-righteous liberals, the vast, vast, vast majority of whom are white elites in academia living on the coasts who get out of bed every day and need something to hate so they don't have to look inward at the things they hate about themselves.
He knows what he's talking about.
That's the whole Upper East Side of Manhattan. These people hate themselves. They're loaded beyond all believable bounds, but they never learned how to enjoy themselves. And if you're not comfortable in your own skin, okay, when you're poor or middle class, getting rich is certainly not going to, you know, solve the problem for you. And that's what a lot of rich people find out in New York and Los Angeles and anywhere in the Beltway. Okay, these people hate Trump. These people hate Trump supporters. And they've manufactured this hysteria that in their mind makes it okay for them to target them and persecute them in any way they deem fit. Okay, when I say it's a manufactured hysteria, what I mean by this is they created this narrative in the media in the summer of 2016 that Trump was some fringe lunatic that came out of nowhere with a big white supremacist following.
Wrong.
Okay, Trump was a prime time host on NBC. He was the highest rated primetime host on the channel for 15 years. So do you understand, okay, he was not like normalized because one night Jimmy Fallon had him on The Tonight Show. The guy had already hosted Saturday Night Live twice. How many fringe people that run cults do you know that get to host Saturday Night Live twice? I'll wait, but I've got a feeling there's not an answer. Okay, no differently than all the hysteria at NBC. When they tell you a guy is literally Hitler, but they owe Hitler royalty checks because he had a primetime show on their network? Dude, we're living in the death of shame. And what's happening to them now is the weaponization of feelings is colliding with the weaponization of facts. An appeals court judge, mindful of the reality that no one's ever been prosecuted for this law in the history of America, and no private entity has ever been asked to post a bond this big in the history of America, realizes that what they're doing to Trump is not based on the rule of law.
This is politics as usual.
It's just politics. Okay, and when you're in the politics of emotion, it works well in the court of public opinion, but it doesn't hold up in the court of law. So Trump's penalty gets reduced, and this is a hard thing for a lot of I mean this, okay? If you have like a devout liberal, okay, and again, they're not my enemies. This is America. We're all teammates. I said it before, I'll say it again. If there's a war tomorrow, I don't care who you voted for, I'm on your side. But this is a very hard day for a lot of, you know, liberal elites on the coasts who really got out of bed this morning thinking they might like themselves by the end of the day if somebody threw a padlock on Trump Tower. Maybe somebody snatched a golf club out of somebody's hands at Trump Dural. Okay, they were really counting on this self-righteousness. You know the whole Scarface Tony Montana speech where he's like, you'll need people like me so you could point your fingers and say, that's the bad guy. You'll need people like me, Tony Montana. That is Trump. They need people like him. Okay, so they can point their fingers and be like, that's the best, you know, that whole thing. And they need people like you who might support Trump so they can point their and be like, that's the bad guy. But in this version of Scarface, okay, the bad guy, I'm using air quotes, just won.
It's the number one show with humans and animals.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Guys, are you the same guy that you were 10 years ago? Everybody's been there. You wake up one morning, you feel like you're getting old, man. Stuff hurts. What do I do? One idea is to use the powerful testosterone booster in Nugenix Total T because it will revive your energy. It'll power up the workouts, might even put the old fire back in the bedroom. Hey, girl, your old self is back. You'll feel amazing on this stuff. So tap the brakes on the aging process because every day that passes is a day you lose testosterone. That means less muscle, means less energy, and it does mean less get up and go in the bedroom. And are you really ready to lose? All of it, the shape, the muscle, the energy. Are you ready to get old? Okay, you don't have to. You can slow it down with Nugenix Total T. It boosts free and total testosterone. It helps you get the old fire back at work, in the gym, and in the bedroom. Nugenix Total T Testosterone Booster with Tesner. It'll help you turn back the clock and re-energize your life and prove it to yourself. Try Nugenix Total T before you buy. There is nothing to lose. Get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, the newest and most powerful fat incinerator ever with key ingredients to help you lose fat and get lean fast. It is absolutely free. Your complimentary bottle awaits. Text 231-231 and enter keyword Jimmy. Text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates apply. Number one doctor recommended brand by primary care physicians based on an independent survey conducted by IQVIA 2022.
It was a big win for the man Lincoln Failla refers to as Big Don, Donald Trump. Having the bond reduced in his real estate trial from $454 million down to $175 million. He is vowing to pay it in cash in the next 10 days, which means all of the people hoping to see some type of asset forfeiture over there.
That's all, folks.
It's a rough night. Like, I might actually, and I am not supposed to do this. I host a show on the Fox News channel, Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Failla. I host it every Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern. I am never supposed to tell you to watch CNN or MSNBC. They're my competition. I mean, they could use the viewers. We're beating them 2-1. 2-1 in my time slot. So we're beating CNN and MSNBC combined in my time slot. Combined. Okay, I'm not telling you I'm any good. They're just that bad. But tonight it might be worth watching their channels because they're going to have a really hard time with this. Like, they're going to be calling the judge a white supremacist or a transphobe or, like, democracy's on the ballot now. You don't understand. The way I live here, I live in New York. Okay, so I'm around these folks every day. I know pretty much everybody in the media because I get to go to all the fancy parties, mainly because I dress like a waiter, so nobody ever questions. They never question what I'm doing there.
That's true. That is true.
I can walk in anywhere I want. They're like, oh, this guy's clearly a member of the staff. They're like, wait, what, a TV host? No, you're, stop it. No, you're not. Anyway, okay, all of these media elites, you can't imagine because they believe their own BS. Like, they all hung out with Trump. Do you understand? Like, Trump used to go on The View. Trump hung out with Barbara Walters. Trump's been on Oprah probably a dozen times. Trump used to go on Morning Joe all the time. Trump was a regular when Howard Stern was the king of all media. before becoming the Prince Harry of all media. A little bit of a whiny guy now. Howard's kind of a rich elitist. He became the thing he hated. You know, he built his empire on the little guy, dirtbags, the Beetlejuices of the world, little misfits on the street. And he was always giving the finger to the elites. And Trump was a regular on a show that gave the fingers to the elites. Well, Trump never abandoned the course, whereas Howard went the other way, became the thing he hated. Well, all of those folks who are getting out of bed today hoping to see Trump lose are really upset tonight. Oh, man. It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon. News breaking moments ago that Donald Trump has had his bond reduced from $454 million to $175 million. He's going to be paying it within the next 10 days. So everybody who was hoping to see the assets seized, I believe they are setting up a grief hotline over at MSN and MSNBC and CNN right now as we speak. But joining us now to boost everybody's spirits who might be hurt by this, Michael is in Jefferson, Georgia. Michael!
Happy Monday, buddy. Yeah, they need grief counselors on speed dial.
It's rough, man.
Hey, another humdinger of a show, my good man.
Boom.
That's what I'm saying.
Boom.
So look, you were driving around in a taxi, and folks were taking selfies with the car, and you were, let's say, photobombing them.
So what was going on there? Tell me about that. Well, that was, we were in Times Square at night. What happens with checker cabs, because they do look like they're out of a movie and there's a camera crew following you in another car or maybe in front of you or behind you, people always jump into the shot, climb on the car. I had, like, I'm not even making this up, like 3 weeks ago, and it was cold out. Some girl got topless on 7th Avenue. It didn't make it into the show, but she jumped on the hood at a red light and did, like, a sexy pose. And yeah, I know. Apparently, we're not supposed to be tipping these women. I was sent down to HR. What'd you want me to do? Blow the horn? I didn't know how to handle that situation.
Old habits kicked in. So you asked people in Times Square what they would do if they found $50,000. That was so funny.
Oh,
so what was your favorite answer? Maybe one that didn't make it on the air.
There were a lot that didn't make it on the air, to be clear. The only reason we've talked so much about gentlemen's clubs was an homage to the other institutions we couldn't mention on the air. There were a lot of people who had some real – because we film – sometimes we go out at like 2 in the morning and film. And you get the real winners at that hour. So, yeah, it was good.
Jimmy, I got an idea. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Fallon Uncut. Do that on Fox Nation with some of those clips.
Wow, that's actually a move. Well, I will tell you this. This week, you've never seen this before, but I'm going to tell you this ahead of time. This week is the 10-year anniversary of the greatest prank I've ever been a part of, and we're going to air it on my show Saturday night. So you heard it here first. Kennedy's on the panel this week, Diamond Dave Landau and Charles McBee. Jesse Waters is on the show. There's going to be pranks is the point.
Wow.
There's going to be pranks. So buckle
That's
up.
Excellent.
Buckle up.
So look, you said your mom would spend it on white Zinfandel spritzers and blackjack. Now, really? Come on, man.
Well, no, I'm kind of, I know. I'm a little off because it could have been roulette. You don't know. But she's definitely buying the spritzers. There's definitely some casino action involved.
That's funny. And let me tell you, those Katy Pavlich boots.
Right?
Oh, my gosh. She wore out a bedazzler on those bad boys, didn't she?
But you know what's funny? We always joke on the radio, you know, she's a general in the Fela Fashion Army. She really just mowed down the troops. That was epic. She was something else. Katy Pavlich is the best.
My wife said, I need some of those boots.
I'll get Pavlich on the line.
I'm going to let you explain the loose balls game, but I was at home, and let's just say my wife and I killed it. Let's just leave it at that.
You were good at it.
Game?
Oh, Michael, you're the best. We'll discuss during the weekend.
Well, wait a minute. We can't leave out the legendary Martha McCallum.
Oh, I know. I forgot about that.
who shocked everyone with her Michael Jackson crush, her love of Joan Jett and Pat Benatar, and she brought it when she did her whispering Joe Biden impersonation.
She was on fire. She was on fire. That was amazing. I forgot about it. Good job. It was such a busy show. And she really was like, she brought down the house. She was amazing. Shout out to her. Michael, I'm glad we kept you on board for another week. It's going to be a sad day when you call in on a Monday and say no more. We'll see you soon. There he goes. Michael, the best.
Get him out of here. Get him out.
If you didn't see Fox News Saturday night with Jimmy Fallon, if you're listening to me for the first time on the radio, watch my TV show. It's everything comedians are supposed to be doing with television shows. I mean that. I want credit for that. It's like you don't have to be a Republican to watch it. You could hate Fox News and you'd still like the show. You absolutely could, because we're not doing an hour of like political commentary. We devoted 10 minutes to the 50th anniversary of the greatest streaking incident in college basketball history and played a game called Loose Balls.
What the hell did you just say?
But again, streakers are not political. They're not Republican or the Democrats. They're just naked, okay? That's all.
Correct the mundo.
It's not good. We did that. We were talking about a story in San Francisco where some community gardeners found $50,000 and called the police.
I'm surrounded by idiots.
Seriously, it's clearly from some type of a nefarious drug deal if it's buried in a community garden in Frisco. You take the money and you go to the mall. But we did something like that. Martha McCallum came on and did impressions and told us her teenage crush was Michael Jackson. She said when she was a little kid, Michael Jackson was young. He was a big pop star. Everybody thought he was cute. And she thought, you know, she had a shot with Michael Jackson.
He's totally false.
None. I said that to her on the air. I said, every celebrity crush is a long shot. Okay, but if you're a woman and your celebrity crush was Michael Jackson, you got a really, real long shot on your hands.
That is correct.
But the point is you should watch it because for an hour a night, you turn on a cable news network. And you just haven't. So it's a fun show. It's completely ridiculous. I'm not telling you it's going to like change your life or that I'm some kind of like pioneering force in broadcasting. It's a free for all. We call it a cable news keg party. And the world needs a lot more solo cups and a lot less fist fighting on social media.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Brian is out in Clarion. He is digging the breaking Trump news. Yo, Brian.
Hey, Jimmy. It's so good to hear you. You know, Bob and I were out shopping. I said, step on it because your radio show is going to be on.
Let's go, Bob.
And I knew that we would be getting great news. And we're so happy that you broke that news about Trump and his win. And isn't it crazy that, you know, we all love it when it's simply the judiciary isn't doing their job to begin with and they kind of got burned a little bit on it.
Uh-huh. Well, that's the truth. Like, today is a win for every American because you want to live in a country where the court systems function properly, which means ultimately, okay, if they reduce the penalty, the bond, they're going to throw this case out ultimately. Because there's no bank claiming fraud. And even people who are liberal that might hate Trump need to understand this is it's not good for the country if the courts just go after people for no reason. OK, that's not good. OK, you don't want to live in that country. People flee those countries to come here. You don't want to be the thing they're fleeing, you know.
And it's very encouraging that it's happening. And as an aside, I have a silly thing to tell you.
Give it to me.
Bob and I put up this screech owl box in our backyard in honor of your Falco.
Stop
it. The poor owl who perished up there in New York. I think he was a Eurasian hawk owl, I think he was called.
Uh-huh.
So I just wanted to tell you that we're thinking of your city and your wildlife, and we put an owl box up.
Uh-huh.
And that game you were talking about, Loose Balls, is it called?
Yes.
I wish Jesse Waters would participate in that.
Oh, wow!
Fun.
I will tell Waters. He's on the show Saturday night. We're going to make this work.
Oh, I want an 8x10, too.
All right, I'll throw my weight around. I love this, Brian. Great stuff. Say hi to Bob.
I will. Have a good day.
You too, babe. There he goes. Brian's out in Clarion, Pennsylvania, a place near and dear to my heart. Jenny Lakin and I stop there a lot. It's right along Route 80. when we're heading out to Ohio to see Jenny's family out in Ohio. I will tell you this week, I have nieces and nephews, a couple of bozos coming to stay in my house this week. Why do you think I'm going to Montana to do stand-up Friday night? I'm kidding. But I'm going to have Isaiah, I'm going to have Haley, I'm going to have Eli. They're coming out for Easter this week because their parents are going to be at a conference. So I'm getting stuck with those bozos in my house. So wish me luck there. Although Jenny's going to be doing most of the dirty work because I'm getting out of town and leaving her on her own.
This could be a problem.
Her and Lincoln and gosh knows what else. My family will obviously be there. 888-788-9910 if you'd like to be here. Kevin joins us now from Hampton Roads, Virginia. Kevin!
Jimmy, good afternoon, my friend. Hey, I think this Letitia James case is going to be thrown out eventually. I mean, everybody kind of thinks that, but I have some more specific reasons. Mark Levin brought up something interesting a few weeks ago on his show. He was talking about the Eighth Amendment, which is the one that prohibits cruel and unusual punishment, but it also prohibits excessive fines. And there was a case in 2019 that was ruled 9-0 by the Supreme Court in favor of the defendant. And they said that that the reason we have the Eighth Amendment is so that political parties can't use the excessive fines against their opponent.
Yep.
And that was a 9-0 case. So
Wow. You
have that in 2019. Number two, this case is really a First Amendment case in disguise. And here's why I say that.
Mm-hmm.
They say it's fraud, but they don't require any of the elements of fraud. They don't require intent. They don't require that you prove there's an injured party. They don't require detrimental damage. So the only thing that's left is speech, words. And what in the Constitution, you know, addresses that, the First Amendment. And also this case, we had a case in law school, our first case in criminal law, where they struck down a law for vagueness. This law is vague. It's pretty much whatever they say. And lying, first of all, isn't a crime. And that's all they've got is that they say Trump lied.
Uh-huh.
So I think it'll be thrown out for that reason. And then the third and final reason is that somehow they've incorporated the Consumer Protection Act.
Mm-hmm.
But who's the consumer? They're trying to say the bank and the insurer are the consumer. Since when is – I mean, Trump's the consumer, so they flipped that law on its end.
Yeah, it's not going to end well for them. I've been saying this for a while now. All of these cases, whether it's the Alvin Bragg, what they're calling a hush money case or anything in between, the process is the punishment, meaning none of these things stand up in court. They were just hoping to hang them over Trump's head in such volume that it would cost him the Republican nomination. That was the hope. It backfired. Now we're going to watch this stuff play out and collapse in real time. And it'll be fascinating to watch, but it's a win for liberals too, because you don't want to live in a country where we're weaponizing the judicial system, which is very much what's been happening. Kevin, sharp wisdom as always, Kevin. I got to tell you, Kevin listens to a lot of Mark Levin. Mark Levin is, of course, one of my opening acts here on the Fox News Channel. He comes on at 8 o'clock every Saturday night before they bring on that Kilmeade fella at 9, and then they hand me over at 10. And then, of course, Levin, such a big name, he has his own show again on Sunday. So Levin is, and you need to know this, and I listened to a fair amount of Levin when I was a cab driver. Levin is legitimately 500 IQ points smarter than me. So if you're going to call in and you're going to quote Levin, which is all fine, okay, it's almost not even fair, okay? You could be making up what he said. I couldn't even intellectually keep up with what was going on. But, Kevin, I appreciate the wisdom, as always. And as we sit here, we are waiting for Trump to speak. He could be speaking at the top of the next hour, or even the bottom of this one. So we're going to take a quick break in case we come back and he's at the mic.
The show that solves problems the old-fashioned way.
You and me are going to fight when that bell rings at 3 o'clock.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We are waiting for Donald Trump to speak. He has just entered the building at 40 Wall Street, expected to get up to the microphone any second now.
You're about to hear the greatest speech you've ever heard.
Now, they've told us that the Trump motorcade would arrive at 12:50, and he would speak at 1. They did make it there at 12:50. To their credit, all the news channels, well, Fox anyway, has gone to commercial. Fox Biz has gone to commercial. CNN still sticking around. They want you to believe they care, or I don't know.
People aren't buying at CNN, you dumb bastards.
I don't know what they're doing. And MSNBC also in some sort of a commercial. So we're monitoring the situation, waiting for this live event to happen, at which point we will carry the audio for you right here on Fox Across America, because that's what we do. We do the big boy stuff. We just, you know, we don't take ourselves very seriously. This is an easy way. That's what we are. We're an easy way to digest the hard news of the day. That's what we are. That's the hook. Sometimes they bill us as a morning show that overslept because we're a little goofier and we're not on in the morning. Okay, but the reality is, as a guy who spent a lot of time driving a taxi and listening to radio in my cab, I realized that we were in need of a place where everybody could just kind of hang out and coexist again, because we don't have a lot of that in media. Right now, the way media works is, you know, somebody disagrees and you're just...
Somebody ought to belt you in the mouth.
Immediately. That's the first reaction. Cancel this guy. Fire him. Get rid of him. I don't want to see him ever again. You know, that's how it works now. Everybody's like, America needs to have a conversation. And then you start the conversation and you're like, I disagree. And they're like, well, your wife's a hoe. And you're like, wait, what does that have to do? I'm so confused. I don't understand what's happened. Why is everybody so worked up right now? Everybody's so mad.
Never hit anyone in anger unless you're absolutely sure you can get away with it.
Words to live by. But what we're getting away with in this hour is an attempt to be that port in the storm where you can agree or you can disagree, because that's how the country was built. And I got to tell you, the division is what's actually tearing it apart right now. So bad for us. It's so bad. In the sense that we now demonize our opponents to such extremes that we can't even, you know, sell the idea of working with them. You know, America was built on a lot of compromise. You know, but we're now living in this area where everybody in Congress wants to be an Instagram influencer. And the way you get clicks is by dealing in extremes. So the good news is there are people who could get to the top of Mount Clickmore by telling you the other side is destroying the country, or they're racist or white supremacist or Marxist or socialist. And, you know, some of them are, but they're not all that thing. But when you caricature the other side as an existential threat to humanity, it's really hard to justify doing any type of business with them. Ergo, the bureaucracy becomes more powerful than the elected officials. And at the end of the day, the shots that we have the ability to keep in check suddenly go beyond our grasp, because it's not legislation dictating how our lives change. It's unelected bureaucrats that are sitting in Washington, D.C.
I got a bad feeling about this.
That's how most of your freedoms are being curtailed in this day and age. So I can't support it. If this was the Big Lebowski, the dude does not abide. But the dude does have plans to carry Trump live when he makes his way to the microphone in the next hour. So if you want to hear the Trump man, you want my take on it. We're also going to get a Sean Duffy sighting. Sean Duffy, of course, a cable news super hunk.
Hubba, hubba.
Okay, he's a cute one, that Sean Duffy. But he's going to be here to analyze it as well. Because as you'd imagine, a guy with his security clearances in Congress, who now works in media, is as connected as anybody when it comes to the goings-on in, of course, this case. And, of course, everything going on at the White House right now with Joe Biden.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
I don't doubt that he does, but he is, at least for a few months longer. And we will get into the ramifications of that as well, because Kamala Harris has just weighed in on the border.
She is a fraud, a phony, a woman without a moral core, a regular two-faced, mealy-mouthed politician.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, yes, it is. On a breaking news Monday, a appellate judge ruling earlier that Donald Trump's $454 million bond would be reduced to $175 million. And as we kick off an hour that will include Sean Duffy, as well as your calls, text, tweets, and carrier pigeons, the former president of the United States, the 45th president, the man attempting to become the 47th president, speaking now, we take you live to 40 Wall Street right here in New York City. Here is Trump talking about the legal goings-on of the morning.
I respect the appellate division for substantially reducing that ridiculous amount of money that was put on by a corrupt judge named Ngoron. You ought to be looked at, seriously looked at, especially what he did with valuations. He's a fraudulent valuator where he values Mar-a-Lago at $18 million and people say it's worth 50 to 100 times that much, the biggest experts in the business. So he ought to be looked at and James ought to be looked at because she tried to get him. She's like the puppet master of the judge. And, you know, our state, this state, is losing tremendous prestige. It's losing its companies. It's losing its people. They're fleeing. And violent crime is flourishing. And we can't have that. We can't have that. No city should have that. And it's happening in other cities, but not with the lawfare. The lawfare that they're doing is incredible. So they could have done this in the case of the trial that we just left, one of the many that are going. Every single one of them is run by Biden and his thugs. It's the only way they think they can get elected. And I think so far it's backfiring because the people of this country understand it. It's backfiring. But they're being run and they're running all of these different cases. So ridiculous, the cases. Every one of them is ridiculous. You take a look at any one of them and you say any one of them, it wouldn't make any difference. This is all weaponization of DOJ and FBI. They raided my house in violation of a thing called the Fourth Amendment. Not allowed to do that. They raided my house in Florida, Mar-a-Lago. No notice, no nothing. They raided it. I can't believe it. Nobody can believe it. And we'll see how that all works out in the end. But it's illegal what they're doing. It's criminal what they're doing. And it's never been done before in this country. You can't have an election in the middle of a political season. We just had Super Tuesday, and we had a Tuesday after a Tuesday already. And we had Louisiana the other day, a couple of days ago.
Trump is speaking right now at 40 Wall Street. He did just misspeak. He said you can't have an election in the middle of a political season. I do believe he meant to say an investigation. That being said, the beat goes on. This is Trump live at 40 Wall Street.
Millions and millions of people coming in from prisons, from mental institutions. They're terrorists. Many people coming in from prisons and mental institutions. Think of it. And terrorists are coming into our country. And this guy's just letting them come in by the millions. I think we have 15 million people already. People don't say that. I say it. And I'll bet I'm right, too. So we're going through this weaponization of our government to try and knock out somebody's political opponent. And so far, based on the polls, it's not working at all. The people understand it. We have a man who just ruled they'd like the trial to start in 21 days or something. And I don't know how you're going to have a trial that's going on right in the middle of an election. Not fair. Not fair. It's not fair at all. He knows that, too. He's a Democrat judge. He wants to do that because they're all trying to damage Trump as much as possible. It's having the reverse effect, but maybe someday it won't. I don't know. But it's having the reverse effect. It's a terrible, terrible precedent, a terrible thing to do. They could have started this when I left office. You could have gone back 3 years, more than that. When I left office, all of these things could have been started so we wouldn't be quibbling over starting this week or that week or 2 days or 3 days. It wouldn't have mattered. This thing would have been over 2 years ago. They could have started. They should have never started because there's no case. If you read Andy McCarthy's piece, if you read Jonathan Turley's piece, if you read legal scholars all over the world, they say this DA case is a hoax and it's something that shouldn't have. It's not even a crime. They say there's no crime. And there is no crime. So I just say it's a sad day for this country when you have something like this. And remember the words, should have been started 3 years ago, if they were going to start it at all, and then you wouldn't be quibbling over what week it's going to end, days. They're quibbling over days and hours. They wouldn't be quibbling at all. They never started it. And you know why they didn't start it? Because they didn't know I'd be running, and they didn't know how well I'd do. And if I were not running, or if I were doing poorly like everyone else has done, because they're all gone, they're all knocked out except for crooked Joe Biden, if I were doing poorly, this wouldn't be happening. None of these trials would have been happening. If I wasn't running, they wouldn't be happening. So it's a sad day in our country in many respects. But the good day is that the appellate division was fair. It's a lot of money still, but the judge is corrupt, in my opinion. He's the most overturned judge. He's been overturned 5 times in this case alone. He ruled against me before he even knew anything about the case. He ruled against me. The whole case was all about damages, and there were no damages. And perhaps you'll get him to tell you about what took place in terms of a settlement negotiation, because those weren't the numbers he was discussing. Those weren't the numbers. It's a disgrace what's happening in our country, and we have to get our country back, and we're going to get our country back. That's what's going to happen. November 5th, I believe, will be the most important day in the history of our country. We'll get these people out of there, and we'll seal up the borders, and we'll, as I say, drill, baby, drill. We'll be drilling. We'll get energy costs down. We'll get rid of the ridiculous electric car mandate, so nobody's ever heard of anything so foolish and so stupid. And we'll bring crime back to law and order. We're going to get those words, law and order, back, because our cities are a disaster. Greatly respect the decision of the appellate division, and we will abide by that. We'll put up cash or bond very quickly, securities, cash or bond, whatever it is. We'll put it up very quickly, and we'll win the case. Todd, maybe I'll have Todd say a couple of words, and then I'll have
So this is Trump. He's about to toss over to his lawyers. He may even take questions. He's standing flanked by 8 American flags down at 40 Wall Street, one of his properties. And Trump makes a point, and it's a good one, that any one of these cases being brought against Trump, any one of these cases, could have been brought 3 years ago. Okay, first of all, the Stormy Daniels case, that's the one where Trump slept with a porn star.
Oh, yes, I've read about that in the Bible.
Well, the point is, that case, that NDA, this was something prosecutors looked into in 2015. So this case is almost 10 years old. The statute of limitations on bringing this case had already expired. But Alvin Bragg is trying to bump it up to a federal charge. Now, he doesn't have that jurisdiction as a local prosecutor, but that's what a lot of this case hinges on, is getting the feds to okay him bumping up the class of the charge to a federal offense, at which point the statute of limitations would be back in play. That's where the first case starts. It's an almost 10-year-old case. Anything related to January 6th, 2021, could have been brought on January 7th, 2022.
That's true. That is true.
Okay, the fact that, or 2021, could have been brought the next day. Okay, could have been brought in 2022. Could have been brought earlier in 2023. This stuff didn't happen until now because it's an election year. And Trump's not wrong when he says that. You got to understand, I don't care. I don't care if you like Trump. It's not my job. I don't care. It's not what I do for a living. I'm just trying to have an honest conversation with you. It's so bad for the country that we've never, ever let the judicial system get involved in a presidential election. We've never done it in the history of the country during an election year. Okay, we've had presidential candidates mishandle classified information.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message.
But they decided not to charge her. Why? Because they didn't want the perception that they were putting their thumb on the scale in an election year. That's the justification they used. Now, if we're being honest, the real reason they didn't charge her is because she was a Democrat. Okay, Hillary Clinton, as a Secretary of State, did not have the declassification authority that a former president would. Hillary Clinton did not cooperate with investigators. She destroyed 33,000 emails under the threat of subpoena. They subpoenaed those emails. And she said, screw you, and just got rid of them.
That's just how white folks will do you.
But they were like, well, it's an election year. We can't go prosecutor during an election year. That makes the election not look legit. We're not going to do that. Translation, we just don't want to do anything that might help a Republican, or in this case, Trump, who's not a member of the D.C. Uniparty. Okay, so we went from, we can't prosecute someone for this during an election year, to Trump has now been indicted 91 different times.
What the hell is the world coming to?
I don't know, but our elections are coming to this perilous inflection point where they're undermining faith in the legitimacy of them on a profound level. Do you understand? People want Trump off the ballot because he said the 2020 election was stolen. But every single Democrat said the 2016 election was stolen.
I think he's got a point.
Well, the point is they're all full of Trump is back at the microphone, I understand. Josh, can we go back to Trump? Is he taking questions?
By the decision. I'll give you an example. Truth Social is doing very well. It's hot as a pistol and doing great. And it's going public. And the New York Stock Exchange wants to have us badly. And I told them, we can't do the New York Stock Exchange. You treated too badly in New York. We don't want to do the New York Stock Exchange. And the people at the Stock Exchange are very, very upset about it. The top person is mortified, can't believe it. He said, I'm losing business because of New York, because people don't want to be in New York and they don't want to go into the New York Stock Exchange. So you can ask them about it. But, you know, how can you do that? I'd love to go in the New York Stock Exchange. It was always, you know, it would be a big thing to go in the New York Stock Exchange. That'd be nice. But people aren't going in the New York Stock Exchange now because of what's happening in New York, because they don't want to be attacked by a thug like this horrible attorney general that we have in New York.
Oh, we call Letitia James a thug.
So we'll decide about Truth Social and what we do with it. But there's just an example of how
this is hurting New York and New York State. But they're absolutely going to pull this on the other networks and say he called a black person a thug. That's how the media works. They do this all the time.
The media is a bunch of losers.
Well, Trump is talking to some of them. Let's go back to that.
I do, because you looked at my statements. I mean, you've been examining my statements for a long time. And I have much more than that in cash. But I would also like to be able to use some of my cash to get elected. They don't want me to use my cash to get elected. They don't want that. They don't want me taking cash out to use it for the campaign. Then they looked at it, and this judge looked at it, and he's part of the whole deal. And, well, he's such a disgrace for this city. Again, the most overturned judge. There's never been that we can find a case where a judge has been overturned now five times. It was four times. Now it's five times. Been overturned. But I have a lot of cash and a great company. I mean, to think they want to go after a company. This is a great company, a company that's doing very well. I've got very low debt on buildings like this building. I have very low debt on this building. Most buildings, I have no debt. Most clubs, I have no debt. Look at my greatest assets. I have no debt. I didn't even include like brand value. And the brand value is, I became president because of the brand, let's say. But the brand value is, it's one of the most valuable brand values. So I think it's, I wouldn't swap it for any other brand in the world, Trump. I don't even put anything down for it. I had very conservative statements. And the way they made him look bad is by valuing Mar-a-Lago at $18 million instead of what the real value is, which was at least 50 to maybe 100 times more. Think of that. This is the fraud. They're creating a fraud, and they're hurting the state so badly. And then I can't go into the New York Stock Exchange because I can't do business, because I don't want to do, not because I can't, because I don't want to do business in New York. And the people at the New York Stock Exchange, I can tell you right now, and they're very fine people, they're not happy. Yeah, you were going to say something.
So this is Trump taking live questions at 40 Wall Street. We're going to run into a commercial break here shortly.
Campaign. Yeah. You haven't done that since 2016.
Well, first of all, it's none of your business, I mean, frankly.
I might
do that.
And
I have
a
the
big
option.
Right hand.
But if I have to spend $500 million on a bond, I wouldn't have that option. I'd have to start selling things. I don't have to sell anything because it's a phenomenal company. Look, I built a phenomenal company. Someday they'll actually report that.
No, they
I
won't.
Built a phenomenal company that's very low leverage, unbelievably low leverage, with a lot of cash, a lot of everything else.
If Trump ended world hunger, they would complain about the nutrition content of the food. Like, he's getting his people sick.
Very little money on my campaign, if anyway. I so choose. I'll be spending money on my campaign. I might spend a lot of money on my campaign, but I should have that option. A crooked judge shouldn't say, we're going to have you post a bond and take all of that money that I could be spending on a campaign or other things if I want to do other things. So we were gratified by the professionalism of the opinion today. I thought it was I think it's a very important opinion for New York. But the only thing that's going to really solve that problem is when I win, because you're going to have to win, because no company is going to be coming to New York if I don't win that case. That case is a scam.
It's going to be a bloodbath. If no company comes to New York, brains will explode all over the set.
No, I don't do that. I think you'd be allowed to, possibly. I don't know. I mean, if you go borrow
just the idea of a president taking a live Q&A like this, which is something we just haven't seen in 4 years. This isn't scripted. He's not calling on people. This is just live television. It's riveting stuff. We take a quick break. We're right back to it after this.
Call in now. We're excited to hear from you.
Who the f*** is this?
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Type of maintenance crew in my studio. Couldn't get back in between breaks.
Get him out of here.
What is going on? There was a woman who retired who used to be, and I believe in the cleaning department. She's legendary. You guys don't know this. It's unfortunate. But there was a woman and she retired. Which is sad because she used to, I'm not kidding, she used to vacuum during a live radio show. Like she might be on the air and she would just walk in and start vacuuming.
Get her out. Get her out of here.
It's actually pretty funny. But I don't know what just happened. We just come back from commercial. There's two guys in my studio. I'm like, hey, you guys got to go. I'm on the air. Live radio. Got to love it. Donald Trump just wrapped up his Q&A with reporters moments ago. We're going to be discussing it with Sean Duffy and whatever members of the maintenance crew join us in the next break. We will also get to your calls, text, tweets, and carrier pigeons, one of which comes from Dennis in Salisbury, Vermont. Yo, Dennis!
Jimmy!
My man.
Thinking of the optics, Trump should stop over at a Manhattan firehouse and boost his spirits with the thunderous applause of his audience there.
That's funny. They do. They love him. The cops and the firemen love him. And it's funny
He should end it by saying that he has to leave because Alvin Bragg and Letitia James won't let him spend more time with them.
Listen, he may yet do that because he's in town. He likes the optics. And he just wrapped up at 40 Wall, so he's down there. There's plenty of firehouses and police departments for him to go visit. And we're showing, like, aerial footage. We're in full O.J. chase mode right now on the channel. So we'll see if he gets out of the white Bronco. I'll keep you posted. Okay, Dennis?
Okay, Jimmy.
Great stuff, thank brother. You. There he goes, the great Dennis. Getting into a new habit over here where I'm trying to get the callers off before the commercial starts. It's a new thing I'm trying this week. Trying to do some good fundamental radio. Sean Duffy will be here to sing backup. He is a cable news super hunk, former Wisconsin congressman. He's as inside the huddle as it gets when it comes to the goings-on in D.C. and certainly the Trump campaign as well. So we'll glean some of his insights when we come back right here on the Big Bad, one and only high-flying, death-defying Fox Across America. I got to tell you, today was one of those rare days where you almost feel bad for the women on the outnumbered couch because nobody's looking at them. Okay, you put a super hunk like my next guest in the center of that ring. These gals might as well have not gotten hair and makeup. They should have given the day off. I mean, no one's looking. Sean Duffy's here. This would be a good time to get the Fox Nation subscription so you could see him on camera with your own eyes. Good to see you, my friend.
The BS is deep. Jimmy Failla, good to be with you as well. Back on your show. I only get to do radio, though. I just do radio. That's it.
Oh, you dare do that.
I don't get
to
do your TV show. Listen, but that's okay. I'm happy to do radio.
You'll do the TV show just fine. But listen, I talk on my radio show. I'll say anything. Be careful.
So will I.
Be careful. So will I.
Jimmy.
Sean Duffy.
It's going to be with
here.
You, though. It's going to be back, you know, in your new studio.
And it's fancy.
And it's so svelte. If people were actually watching Fox Nation, they could see how beautiful it is.
It's gorgeous.
It's on the radio. You know, you guys just take my word for it. It's a beautiful, fully redone studio. It's almost like it has like a northern Wisconsin theme. You got wood paneling on the walls and nice leather seats. So, listen, thank you for making it so comfortable.
Would you say that Letitia James could not accuse us of overvaluing the worth of this studio?
Oh, I think she could. I think she could
do it.
Absolutely. If she could do it to Trump, she could do it to you.
So let's talk about this. So they reduced the bond in the Trump thing, the fraud bond he had to post. And this to me tells me they're actually going to throw the case out at some point. Because he's been charged with the financial equivalent of murder. There's no dead person. The banks aren't saying they would defraud it.
Well, so first off, this he did not have the option to have a jury trial.
Yes.
with the law that he was charged with violating, because it's not a serious law.
Yeah.
Right? If you're going to take a half a billion dollars from someone, you're traditionally entitled to a jury trial. Yeah. If we're going to take away your freedom and your money,
yeah,
you get a jury, right?
And but your here business license and everything else.
The law is such that no one ever anticipated it would be used this way, so it was normally just a court trial. So that's one thing. Here's what I think is happening, though, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. So they reduced the bond. So again, this is a bond he has to post to appeal all the garbage that Letitia James and the judge did to him. But I think what the appellate court did was said, you know what? This is really bad for the Democrat Party to have Donald Trump not be able to post the bond and mm-hmm. Letitia James start to seize Trump's assets. This is a death blow for us politically. So let's save the Democrat Party by reducing the bond, let Trump post it, and let him appeal. Yeah. It's not about Donald Trump. It's not about equity. It's not about fairness. It's about helping Democrats with the overreach of this court.
Like they realize they went too far?
Yeah. Yes.
I would agree with that. Sean Duffy's in the studio if you just joined us. I would agree with that because obviously all of this weaponization has resulted in his, you know, poll numbers going up in the primary anyway. And he seems to be positioned well in the general. If it was held today, I believe he'd win based on how he was polling in swing states. So they probably, I guess what you're telling me is internally, they know this is trending bad for them. That's your gut?
So internally, they know the lawfare is not working.
Okay.
And again, you got to take a step back. Most Americans go, guy, they gave us 3 years of Russia collusion with the CIA and the FBI and the DOJ. And that was all a lie.
Yeah, all of it.
And then we did, you know, two impeachments. And then we did the January 6th. And then we tried to kick him off ballots. And now we've charged him with crimes. We want to put him behind bars, but we also want to take all his money.
Yeah.
And most Americans have a sense of fairness and justice. And they look at all these things and they go, is Donald Trump a criminal?
Yeah.
Has he been that bad? I might not like his tweets.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean he should go to jail. That doesn't mean we should take all his money.
The
Twitter offense is not, you know, a death sentence for him politically.
One of the things you hear a lot, you know how we talk about echo chambers and how if you only talk about people who see it your way, you don't sometimes realize how out of touch you are with the rest of the country. I think in their head, at least for a while there, they believed everybody felt the way they did. Meaning they manufactured this hysteria around Donald Trump and lived in it for a few years, thinking everybody came and went to work thinking of how we were going to nail his nuts to the wall instead of how we were going to pay their bills or how we were going to lower crime or how we were going to get our kids an education. I think they all believed people were living in their headspace, and I think they're learning the hard way that nobody was.
It's an echo chamber.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. And so they talk to themselves and people who think the way they do, and they're like, oh, we got him now. Oh, this is going to be really good.
I say this all the time. He's Batman.
Yeah.
Do you know you go to the old Batman? You'd be like, oh, he's like on the wheel of doom. And you're like, how's he going to get out of this one? You know what I mean? They're like, oh, they got Batman now. And then you'd go to commercial. And then you'd come back and he'd be punching people in the face.
And he's out, right?
Blam.
Yeah. No.
Pow.
And because what they're trying to do is beat him by using laws against him, against him, as opposed to saying, you know what, as a party, we just have better ideas.
Yeah.
We're Democrats, and we care about people. We want to spend more money. We want to drive up the debt. We want to open up the border. And we are so popular, we are going to run on our ideas and beat Trump on the ideas.
Nope, they're running for the enough is enough vote. Right. We're like, oh, enough of this already. I can't with the Trump. That's what they're running on.
Yeah.
The enough is enough party.
And
they flooded the zone.
They flooded the zone.
So give me that, Sean Duffy.
But how is your party so bad that, I mean, so Donald Trump, the Republicans usually get like 9% of the African-American vote, maybe 11% at a good election. Like Donald Trump's up at like 19-20% of the African American vote. If he gets that much
of
the black vote, they're done. They can't win. And the Hispanic vote, he's winning. Yeah, he's winning the Hispanic vote
right now.
And in the states that matter, like Arizona, where there's 25%, it's 25% Hispanic. In Nevada, which Republicans don't win in Nevada, he's winning there in the polls and winning Hispanics in Nevada.
That's bananas.
So if you're a Democrat, you're like, oh, my goodness, we've done all this stuff, and Donald Trump is, one, he's still standing, he's still fighting, and he's beating us?
Yeah.
So maybe it's not Donald Trump, Democrats, maybe it's you.
Oh!
Some
tough love!
Tough love.
Sean Duffy's in studio. Something callers have brought up that I've thought about is the tax situation. Ooh. Now, if it's, let's say Trump Tower is worth $18 million or Mar-a-Lago's worth $18 million, he's obviously been paying taxes on a dollar amount that isn't that. So would these states technically owe him a refund? Like, you know when you reassess your property and you grieve your taxes and they might owe you a kickback check or they might raise your taxes or anything in between? If Mar-a-Lago is probably worth a few hundred million dollars, I think, by most conservative estimates, given the value of real estate where it's located, if we deem all of a sudden it's worth $18 million, do they owe him a refund? I mean, I'm not saying he's going to get it, but I'm saying how does something like that get worked out?
Yeah, so listen, great point by your callers, mm-hmm. and we should ponder that. Mm-hmm. But there's too much common sense in that analysis. We can look at the tax bill
yeah.
and go, oh, the tax bill for Mar-a-Lago is much more than $18 million,
yeah.
right? He's paying property taxes on much more than $18 yeah. million, dollars, which is what the judge assessed Mar-a-Lago at. Which, by to your point, mm-hmm. right down the road, there's a 3-acre lot that's nothing mm-hmm. on it.
Yeah.
That's listed for $200 million.
I believe
Mar-a-Lago is a massive estate.
I believe if I'm wrong on this, but I believe El Rush, by the late great Rush Limbaugh, I believe his property is like $155 million. Yeah. Right down the block.
Right down the block.
So is Trump in a fixer-upper? Is that what you're telling me, Alice? Why don't we buy Mar-a-Lago? I mean, at that price, I feel like we can do all right.
I've been to Mar-a-Lago. It may be a fixer-upper. I don't love Mar-a-Lago. It's a little bit odd.
Sean Duffy in studio.
This guy will say anything.
Shots fired.
Shots fired. I can't. Donnie Trump, he'll say. But it's a really good point, and it underscores how corrupt this judge was uh-huh. with Letitia James. And by the way, I was a prosecutor. I was a DA elected in a really Democrat county. You never run and saying, I'm going to prosecute this guy.
By name.
Donald Trump. And then she won on yeah. prosecuting Donald uh-huh. Trump. And so for Letitia James, this is all about politics.
Yeah.
She's a winner.
Like that. Right? I know. But that video, all the videos of her campaigning on this.
Yeah.
In another world, wouldn't they actually disqualify her from prosecuting him because it taints the integrity of the trial?
Well, it taints the integrity of the prosecutor,
yeah.
right? That you're not actually trying to follow the law. You're actually trying to persecute someone. You're right. So, but that's common sense again, Jimmy, in a state where there is no common sense, in a city where there is no common sense. And again, the American voters, like, again, I might not like Donald Trump,
mm-hmm.
but I don't like this.
Yeah.
And here's the problem, Jimmy. This is going to change who we are as a country.
Yeah.
If this is successful, this will be the new normal for this country, that we use the laws to prosecute our political enemies. We're going to go from the greatest nation with the greatest laws on earth
uh-huh.
to a third world banana republic.
It's crazy.
Like that. It goes just like we got these squatters all over yeah. New York.
Mm-hmm.
The squatter, you save your money and you put a down payment on a house. You buy the house. And you don't move in right away, and some guy moves into your house that you pay the mortgage on, and he's sleeping in your bed,
yeah.
pooping in your toilet,
if
you can't get him out.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky, it could be on the doorstep, too. You never know.
Oh, Sean Duffy's in studio. But you're right. We're abandoning the rule of law in a lot of ways. And then we're doing this other thing where their justification for targeting Trump is that no one's above a law, but he's the first guy to ever get prosecuted for the law he's getting prosecuted for. So that's not equal justice under the eyes of the law. That's, you know, my feelings are my facts.
There's way too much common sense in this show,
Jimmy. Oh, Sean
Duffy.
You're
trying to use reason and rationality.
Right, give me this. Take it to my intellectual level for a minute. So Lincoln Fala, who's a, you know, a bit of a multimedia sensation here at Fox News. Me and Lincoln are the white trash deuces. You know, Steve and Peter
yeah,
here,
yeah.
and they're building quite the empire. One guy covers the White House. The other guy's in Fox News. Me and Lincoln are the white trash spinoff of that, and we embrace that. That's our brand. That's what we're offering the American people. We don't want to compete in that lane. We don't belong in that lane, okay? But Lincoln Fala says Trump, and he refers to Trump as Big Don. Do you think Big Don is a good name? Because it sounds like a pro wrestler.
It does.
And it also, you know, the word Trump is such a heated word at this point. It carries so much weight. Should he start referring to himself as Big Don?
Big Don. Well, he seems like a Don himself. Like
yeah.
He's
a mafia boss. Don.
Right.
Oh, Big well, if Don. He does, so if he calls himself Big Don,
Big Don,
they're going to be like, he's mafioso. Threatening to do mafia things.
Right. He's going to cap someone in the head, right? He's going to break their legs.
Oh, no.
That's what Big Don is going to do.
That would be a media cycle for a week.
But you know what? You made me think of this. I thought of Peter Ducey, and I'm looking at you right now. And I mean, you and Peter Ducey kind of have similar hairstyles. You both kind of have this hair thing going on.
He's got a prettier one, though. He pays good money for that haircut.
For his haircut, he does.
My haircut, I tip the guy a lot more than the cut costs, because I've been going to the same barber since I was a cab driver.
But you think you'd do a better job.
Yeah, no.
Oh, I'm kidding.
Sean
I love
Duffy.
You.
Shots 5 shot.
Get him out of here. Get him out.
We've had enough of this guy. But the point is, no, we're laughing. Sean Duffy is in the studio. No, go ahead.
I haven't got to meet Lincoln yet. So
is that true?
It's true. I've heard him. I've seen pictures of him. He's kind of elusive.
Yeah.
He's elusive to the Duffy.
Yeah.
I'd like to see the young multimedia superstar at some point. But you're building an empire here, a family empire.
That's what
it's
trying
to do. It's a family
business.
And I love it. And I have to imagine the ratings only go up when Lincoln is on the show.
Do you want to laugh? The two highest guests we have are Lincoln and Jenny. Is that funny?
Is it really?
Yeah. And Jenny ever so slightly outrated Lincoln when she was on.
Shut your mouth.
There's the link. He's not having that. But the point is, they both rate pretty well. But Lincoln did an individual segment that was off the charts where we talked about playground politics. And the thing we were focused on is like, hey, what are the 10th grade kids? What are the 9th grade kids? Where are they at in the election? And they're not as dialed in yet as they will be on election day, meaning their teachers aren't talking to them about it yet.
Right.
But they're all on social media. So their perceptions are hardened already. If you're a Trump guy, you're a Biden guy, kids already have that brand now in a way that I don't think we did. When you were in 10th grade and you went on to be a congressman, okay, but in 10th grade, were they actively discussing electoral politics years before an election? Probably not, right?
No, we were talking about what end of what dirt road can we go to drink beer this weekend?
Yes.
Who looks good today?
Yes.
You know what? Right. That's what we talked about.
Yes, I mean,
electoral politics.
Thank you.
No.
Thank you.
Who's getting the beer? Yeah. Old Mill Light is what it's going to be tonight because that's going to be the cheapest at the store. But can I ask you, what I didn't hear the segment. So what did Lincoln say? Where are the kids in 10th grade in his? I mean, I imagine he goes to school in New York.
Yeah, he does. He's on Long Island. But he's in Nassau County, so they're pretty Republican in Nassau County, and they like Big Don.
They like Big Don.
His class likes Big Don.
Is there reasons why they like Big Don?
Oh, he got into it.
This is a reflection of social media.
He said Trump represents McDonald's and guns in America. He said, and Biden is old, and it looks weak for the country, and he doesn't like the idea of a Biden. That's the link man speaking.
And who doesn't like McDonald's? By the way, so Donald Trump, as you know, loves
McDonald's.
So my chief of staff used to run Wisconsin for Trump in 2016. And he figured out that Donald Trump likes to pick where he likes to, what fast food he wants when he finishes the speech and is on the way to the plane.
Uh-huh.
So my chief of staff would have staffers at all the Taco Bell.
and whatever he said, you place the order and come.
He'd say, I want this. And they would have a guy there. They would order it, and they'd get it to the plane hot for Trump. And he's like, I love coming to Wisconsin. This team is amazing in Wisconsin because they got hot, fresh fast food on the plane as he was about to take off. And by the way, they were so good, he actually won Wisconsin by a hair in 2016.
Think about that. By a McNugget.
By a fry.
But you think about that. In terms of him, you know, they would describe him from time to time as a blue-collar billionaire and that he had a good relationship with, like, rank-and-file voters in that regard. It doesn't get any more relatable than McDonald's. Do you know what percentage of our audience is in a drive-through line right now? Right now, as we're sitting here talking on the radio?
A lot. I wish I was in a drive-thru line
right now. I know. I'm sitting here.
But I'm talking to you.
Starving in TV land.
We should have, like, McDonald's-sponsored segments here where we have some Big Macs and some fries. By the way, do you know they have the best Coke at McDonald's? I don't know why, what they do with their Coke. And I've asked, when I was in Congress, I would actually ask McDonald's, why is your Coke so much better than every other fast food chain's Coke or any, like, little gas station? It's the best Coke.
Yeah, no,
so I would actually go to Burger King and get a chicken sandwich at Burger King. But then I'd go through the drive-thru at McDonald's to get the Coke at McDonald's
because
it's
like the
I did love it. It's so good.
Well, if you love Coke, you're going to love the White House now under Biden. You should go.
There's a lot of Coke there.
Just bring your locker key.
When Hunter's there, it's a little better buzz from the Coke at the White House.
Sean Duffy came in guns blazing, shots at me, my barber. The family, the Trump to Mar-a-Lago.
It was loving the Linkster.
All hands on deck, Sean Duffy. This was epic. We'll do it again. Everybody should watch The Bottom Line tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Sean Duffy, Dagan McDowell. It's always a banger. You'll see me back on there soon. We're working it out.
One day. We're going to get Jimmy back on. We used to have Jimmy before he had his own show. He was on all the time.
Stop it.
Now we got to work him back in, work his schedule.
We got to
offer him massages. I only want blue M&Ms in the green room. And I'm like, okay, Jimmy, we're going to get this for you.
Well, no, with my physique, wardrobe wants you to remove all M&Ms, not just the blue. They want them all.
Jimmy only gets carrots.
Untrue. Sean Duffy, everybody.
There's a slob. There's a real slob.
The show that's not afraid to tell you the truth.
Not only are you not a very nice person, you're also a slob.
Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is. Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon. Going to play you a quick clip from CNN.
CNN is the worst.
A lot of people feel that way, but even they were forced to acknowledge this was a big win for Trump in court today.
This is huge, and we saw him head into this court hearing several hours ago. He barely spoke to cameras. He was sort of looking down, hunched over inside the court. He was facing a possibility that at the end of the day, the Attorney General of New York could start the process of seizing his assets, and now he has been handed this incredible win, this lifeline from the appeals court that says he only has to put up $175 million, not the nearly $500 million that he was unable to get either underwritten or post. And then they've also reined in some other aspects of that civil fraud verdict.
Wow. So that is CNN all excited when they get out of bed today, as was MSNBC, that today was the day we get Trump. Today's the day.
Wrong.
I'm telling you, he's Batman. I say it all the time. Every time you think you have Batman pinned to the wheel of doom, that's it. Hey, we got him this time. But today was extra special because they thought they were actually going to seize the Batmobile, and they sure drove it all right.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, yes, it is. We are fired up in this hour of Fox Across America. We're going to be joined by James Comer, the man who has launched an investigation into the Bidens.
Hunter's a dirtbag.
It appears that they are threatening Merrick Garland, your attorney general, with contempt of court for refusing to hand over documents related to special counsel Robert Hur's investigation.
Are you the big man, Joe?
Now, to be clear, that's not what the investigation was about. It was about his mishandling of classified information. And at the end of the day, special counsel Robert Hur said he could not try Joe Biden because he didn't believe he was mentally competent to stand trial.
We have a president that is clearly not all there.
I mean, really think about that. We can't put this guy on trial. How come we can't put him on trial, you guys? Well,
that man belongs in a nursing home, not in the White House.
Yeah, so the good news is he's not on trial. The bad news is he's still in charge of the country.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
I don't doubt that he does. 888-788-9910. If you like what I'm saying, you can hate what I'm saying. You're still welcome. It's just a talk show. It's all it. Remember talk shows? People agreed, disagreed, you know, yelled and screamed, laughed. Who cares? Just America. Good old fashioned America. That's what I grew up around. So that's what I'm trying to give you. 888-788-9910. You know the rules. You could be a Republican. You could be a Democrat. Just do not be a. I'm back on the road this weekend, March 29th. I am at the Helena Civic Center, Friday night, March 29th. This Friday, Saturday, March the 30th, the Fox Theater in Spokane, Washington. Then next week, I am in Federal Way, Friday night, April the 5th. I'll be at the Federal Way Performing Arts Center. Saturday night, April the 6th, I will be. Ooh, it's going to be a banger, the Egyptian Theater right there in Boise. Then the following week, we go down to Alabama. We are at the Mars Music Hall in Huntsville, where we will get to meet Michael. You guys know Michael from the show.
This could be a problem.
Yeah, I don't know that it's a good idea. And, of course, Tommy and Laura Daniel are bringing their dog that they named after Lincoln. But right now, I'm still in New York for a few more days. And the breaking news, as we got on the air this morning, was that an appellate court lowered the bond in Donald Trump's real estate trial from $454 million to $175 million. Trump vowing to pay it in cash within 10 days, which means there will be no forfeiture of his assets. Now, I bring this up because one of the most fascinating things playing out in the media over the weekend, something you probably weren't privy to, is that former RNC chair, Rona McDaniel. Rona McDaniel was the chair of the RNC. A lot of people had grown tired of her.
Get her out. Get her out of here.
Rona McDaniel went over and signed a deal. She signed a deal with NBC.
What an idiot.
Now, traditionally, this happens a lot. Michael Steele, who was the former chair of the RNC, also wound up working over at NBC. Okay, it is pretty common, in fact, for news networks to hire people who work at the tippy top of a political party, if only because they bring a lot of contacts to the network and can offer a lot of insight to the viewers. So this would normally be common in a normal world. It would be common for news networks to employ people from opposing political parties. One of the things you see a lot of here on Fox is liberals who do come on the channel representing liberal views. We don't ask them to be Republicans who call themselves liberals. We ask them to believe and say whatever the hell they want, because over here at Fox News, we're trying to have the idea battle one way or the other. Okay, we want to have the conversation. But at MSNBC over the weekend, and NBC as a whole, they threw a full-on hissy fit because Rona McDaniel was now on the channel. And how dare you put someone on? She spread misinformation, said the people who told you Russia was in control of our government after the 2016 election. She's not credible, said the people who told you Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian disinformation. She can't be trusted, said the people who said vaccinated people don't get and spread COVID.
It means that instead of the vaccine being able, instead of the virus being able to hop from person to person to person to person, spreading and spreading, sickening some of them, but not all of them. And the ones that it doesn't sicken don't know they have it. And then they give it to even more people because they didn't recognize they were, right? Instead of the virus being able to hop from person to person to person, potentially mutating and becoming more virulent and drug resistant along the way. Now we know that the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person. A vaccinated person gets exposed to the virus does not infect them, the virus cannot then use that person to go anywhere else. It cannot use a vaccinated person as a host to go get more people. That means the vaccines will get us to the end of this.
Okay, that was Rachel Maddow. Okay, but is anyone over at MSNBC saying we can't have Rachel Maddow on the air because she lied and lied?
The answer would be no.
No, it's not about truth. It's about party affiliation. Okay, and let me give you a little bit of their take because it's fascinating. Here's Chuck Todd, clip 20.
Look, let me deal with the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation. Because I don't know what to believe. She is now a paid contributor by NBC News. So I have no idea whether any answer she gave to you was because she didn't want to mess up her contract. She wants us to believe that she was speaking for the RNC when the RNC was paying for her. So she has credibility issues that she still has to deal with.
Yeah.
Is she speaking for herself or is she speaking on behalf of who's paying her? Once at the RNC, she did say that, hey, I'm speaking for the party. I get that. That's part of the job. So what about here?
Oh, shut up, woman.
Chuck Todd says she has credibility issues. Here's Chuck Todd in July of 2021 telling you the only people who die from COVID are the unvaccinated.
That is a fact check false.
Okay. Do you know when? This is fascinating, by the way. I pay attention, man. It's what I do. I don't know what I'm doing. Okay, I'm just a talk show host. I don't get on the air and say I have all the answers. My contribution to the world is that I think people need to chill out. I think there's a lot more common ground between the two parties than most people in mass media would have you believe. And I think there's more to offer as a broadcaster than selling confirmation bias to one side so they vote against the other. I think you can still do a talk show in this day and age. And the success of this show and my TV show are a testament to that on some level. But it probably takes a lot more talent than most of these people have.
He knows what he's talking about.
But here's the thing I wanted to tell you, though, about me paying attention. Okay, is do you know when the media stopped reporting the death numbers for COVID? Do you know when it actually happened? Okay, it happened in the month when vaccinated people now comprise a bigger percentage of COVID deaths than the unvaccinated.
Oh, wow!
Why did they stop doing that? Why did places like The Atlantic start writing pieces calling for COVID amnesty? Months earlier, they had written, "We can no longer trust the unvaccinated. They have blood on their hands." And everybody in mass media was saying we should start shaming them.
Not getting vaccines. It's time to start shaming them.
Because frankly, we know that we can't trust the unvaccinated.
F*** them. F*** their freedom. I want my freedom to live.
No, screw your freedom. You're a schmuck for not wearing a mask.
We have to stop coddling the morons who will not get the shot.
Shame on you.
Shame on you, they said. Fire them from their jobs. Don't treat them if they show up at a hospital.
Dr. Fauci said that if hospitals get any more overcrowded, they're going to have to make some very tough choices about who gets an ICU bed. And that choice doesn't seem so tough to me. Vaccinated person having a heart attack? Yes, come right on in. We'll take care of you. Unvaccinated guy who gobbled horse goo? Rest in peace, Wheezy.
I mean, dude.
You're an idiot!
Okay, but here's Chuck Todd, part of that chorus. Okay, in July of 2021, Chuck Todd says, Rona McDaniel can't be on the channel because she's not credible. Let me know if this sounds credible. Clip 23.
She called the Delta variant, quote, hyper-transmissible, and that its spread is being fueled by communities with low vaccination rates. Director Walensky says more than 1,000 counties have a vaccination rate lower than 30%. Folks, nearly 10,000 people died in the month of June. They were needless deaths. Please get vaccinated. If you know someone who's not vaccinated, find a way to convince them to get vaccinated. Literally, the only people dying are the unvaccinated. And for those of you spreading misinformation, shame on you. Shame on you. People are needlessly dying because of your misinformation. Think about it. I don't know how some of you sleep at night who are doing this for a living on television.
I mean,
what the hell were you thinking?
That's Chuck Todd saying, shame on you. Shame on you. The only people dying are the unvaccinated. Guys, more vaccinated people were dying of COVID than unvaccinated. In the last month, we were still reporting stats on the air. Okay, and we were fired from jobs. Cops, firemen, first responders, fired with glee over the self-righteousness that these people were too stupid. They were a threat to the rest of us. We got to get rid of them.
You can't handle the truth.
Do you understand? But that's who Chuck Todd is. Did you hear that clip? Shame on you. People are dying. How dare you?
Would you shut up?
That's what he said. I'll give it to you one more time. This is the guy worried about credibility. Rona McDaniel can't be on the channel because we have credibility problems. Here is Chuck Todd just about crying into a camera lens and lying to you, saying you're spreading misinformation that's getting people killed when he himself was the one spreading misinformation.
This is Looney Tunes.
Looney Tunes? That's all, folks.
Here it is, clip 23, one more time.
She called the Delta variant, quote, hyper-transmissible, and that its spread is being fueled by communities with low vaccination rates. Director Walensky says more than 1,000 counties have a vaccination rate lower than 30%. Folks, nearly 10,000 people died in the month of June. They were needless deaths. Please get vaccinated. If you know someone who's not vaccinated, find a way to convince them to get vaccinated. Literally, the only people dying are the unvaccinated. And for those of you spreading misinformation, shame on you. Shame on you. People are needlessly dying because of your misinformation. Think about it. I don't know how some of you sleep at night who are doing this for a living on television.
I don't know how some of you think at night who are doing this for a living in television.
That is so embarrassing.
Never mind that some of the people, Chuck Todd, who didn't want to take the vaccine were Biden and Kamala supporters who heard them bash the vaccine on the campaign trail.
Let's just say there's a vaccine that is approved and even distributed before the election. Would you get it?
Well, I think that's going to be an issue for all of us.
If and when the vaccine comes, it's not likely to go through all the tests that needs to be and the trials that are needed to be done.
When we finally do, God willing, get a vaccine, who's going to take the shot? Who's going to take the shot? You can be the first one to say, put me, sign me up. They now say it's okay.
And the question of whether it's real when it's there, that requires enormous transparency. You got to make all of it available to other experts across the nation so they can look and see. So there's consensus. This is a safe vaccine.
If the president announced tomorrow we have a vaccine, would you take it? Only if it was completely transparent that other experts in the country could look at it. only if we knew all of what went into it.
If Donald Trump can't give answers and his administration can't give answers to these three questions, the American people should not have confidence.
But if Donald Trump tells us that we should take it, I'm not taking it.
Go on, girl.
Kamala is a lying sociopath. Fact checked.
Okay, so do you understand? They went from, I'm not taking this Trump vaccine. Trump says to take, I'm not taking it. Here's a newsflash. Not only did they take it, but they fired you from your job if you didn't. But to take it a step further, it didn't work. And there's Chuck Todd talking to you about credibility issues. My God. Okay, the real problem we have in media right now, and this is a problem, and this is why I do what I do. I am trying to help. Do you want to know why? Because I want to live with myself someday, okay? And I do a pretty good job of living with myself most days. I'm a crazy person. I'm a lot to walk around with when it's just me and me. I'm nuts, okay? But I'm pretty open about that. But the fact remains, someone like me, given such a massive media platform like Fox News, my own Saturday night TV show, my own radio show, I know this ends someday. You don't work in media for 1,000 years, okay? At some point, you know, you're not doing it. And you want to be able to look back on it and know that you did right by the opportunity, meaning you worked your hardest, but you were mindful of how it impacted people. You're mindful of whether or not you were honest with your audience or if you were just being a provocateur to get clicks and light the country on fire so you could be trendy on Twitter. That's most of broadcasting right now. It's embarrassing. Okay, but understand, the reason Americans can't have conversations, the reason they can't coexist, is because outside of the show, there's not a lot of places left for them to do it, okay? Fox is a place we bring on liberals constantly. You'll get mad at them because we let them espouse their views. But most of the media won't let people have a conversation across the aisle. They won't do it. And then they'll be like, oh, the country is so divided. I can't believe we're so divided. Why do you think we're so divided? I mean, do you think it's because of those white supremacist democracy deniers who want to just deny women their rights to exist? I mean, do you think that's what it is? Like the transphobic, semi-fascist Nazis that vote for Trump? Do you think that's why we're so divided? As they use the divisive language? That's what's going on right now. Everybody warning you about division. Everybody warning you about undermining democracy. Everybody warning you about misinformation happens to be a member of the one party that's trafficking in all of it.
Democrats are so full of crap.
It's the fastest part of your workday.
Wow, you're pretty quick for a big guy.
Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, baby boy, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We're going to be rapping with James Comer. In the next break, he is, of course, leading the investigation into the Biden family.
Come on, man.
Okay, we had a pretty wild hearing last week where Tony Bobulinski, Hunter Biden's business partner, was asked by AOC. Do you remember? Good old AOC.
AOC is a dope.
It's one of my favorite moments ever. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez asked Bobulinski if Biden committed any crimes. Won't let him explain what they are, but then tries to claim with a straight face that RICO is not a crime.
That is a fact check false.
Here it is. Listen to this. Clip 6.
Did you witness the president commit a crime? Is it your testimony today?
Yes.
And what crime do you have you witnessed?
How much corruption statutes, RICO and conspiracy?
What is it? What is the crime, sir? Specifically,
she won't let him talk.
I answered the question. No. RICO, you're obviously not familiar with.
RICO is not a crime. It is a category. What is the
it's a category
crime?
Of crimes that you're then charged
you have charged. I reclaim my time.
That was embarrassing.
Okay, do you know what Trump is being charged with in Georgia specifically? Specifically! It's being charged with RICO. RICO violations. And that's what he's saying Biden crimes would fall under, money laundering and misrepresentation, fraud, stuff of that level. So AOC, again, auditioning for the cameras, the soundbite, not actually concerned with the substance or the future of the country, which is the biggest problem we have right now. Got a lot of people in Congress who want to be Instagram influencers. Congress is kind of their side hustle. and they use it to gain notoriety and TV exposure so they can build up their brand on TikTok. That's essentially what's running Washington, D.C. right now as we speak.
Country is being destroyed by stupid people, by very stupid people.
A lot of people feel that way. James Comer might be one of them. He joins us from the 1st Congressional District of Kentucky. When we come back to talk about contempt of court charges against our attorney general. What a time to be alive, my goodness. I feel like I'm sitting courtside at an NBA game right now. It's Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon. Fired up to talk to this next guest. There's a lot of fine things we could say in this moment. But here's the reality of what we're dealing with now. He is, of course, the House Oversight and Reform Committee chairman, a superstar congressman from the 1st Congressional District of Kentucky. We are talking about Representative James Comer. Hey, man.
Hey, Jimmy.
Busy day for you in Washington. Did I hear from your press team that we could have contempt charges for Merrick Garland? What's going on? Or contempt anyway, be held in contempt?
Yeah, well, he should be held in contempt. We've been requesting basic information from Merrick Garland for months. Not only has he not complied with our simple request for information, he's obstructed our investigation at every turn. And what we heard last week in our committee hearing with respect to Biden corruption was the fact that a former business associate of Hunter Biden, Bob Alinsky, said that Joe Biden was the central figure. That's now the third business associate that's testified under oath that Joe Biden was a central figure in their influence peddling schemes. No one's doubting that we've proven they were influence peddling. The line in the sand with the media and the Democrats is, well, Joe didn't know. Yeah, they were corrupt, the son and the brother, but Joe didn't know. Three former associates have now testified that Joe was the central figure, that he was the closer. And then Tony Bobulinski testified that there was no business, which is what I've been saying forever, and that China was just simply bribing the Biden family. That's a pretty serious allegation, but the evidence backs it up. There's more evidence that Merrick Garland's sitting on. He will not turn over, and that's why Jim Jordan and I are at our wits' end.
Well, what's so crazy about this is there's this counter effort being made to try to sell the American public on the idea that you guys haven't found anything. And I think we're dealing here with actual living, breathing business partners testifying on the contrary to quite an extent. So what do you liken this to? Is this Garland just trying to be a human shield for the president? Like, what is this?
Well, Garland's working with the deep state, who's working with the liberal mainstream media to try to indoctrinate into people's minds that there's no evidence.
Yeah.
Well, here's the evidence, Jimmy. There's 10 different Biden family members
that
received incremental payments through 20 shell companies that received wires from at least five foreign countries that were for services that we have yet to determine. For nearly $30 million. And then according to the IRS whistleblowers, they didn't pay a penny of taxes on it. But this all revolves around Joe, because not only have we proven Joe got $250,000, $250,000 of that money, but Joe met with all the people that were wiring the Bidens' money. And even though he lied and said he never met with any of them, he met with all of them. But at the end of the day, who are these people, Jimmy? They're bad people in bad countries who were being investigated for corruption, who were needing pardons, who were needing access to American banks because they had sanctions put against them by the government. They all needed something from the government, and they were paying for access to Joe Biden.
And that seems to be, you know, the common thread here, is these are people that wouldn't have had the access had they not gone through the Bidens. And at the same time, you think of Hunter Biden. He wouldn't have the money had they not involved his father, because there's no defined service that he's essentially providing in this business, correct?
That is correct. And they've had every opportunity in the world. We've asked them what they did. You know, the bank email showed that the bank examiners were like, what are they doing? And they were communicating between each other. And one bank examiner said, well, he claims this is an investment company, but it's an investment company with no investments.
That's,
you know,
bananas.
I mean, that's pretty much symbolizes what the LLCs were.
We're talking to Representative James Comer, the House Oversight and Reform Committee chairman. It's fascinating to me because even I watched the back and forth last week I guess AOC doesn't know what RICO charges are. Is that what I should believe?
Yeah, I mean, they have no idea, and that's ironically what they're charging Trump on in New York or somewhere. But, you know, at the end of the day, you could make a strong argument for RICO against the Biden family because this is organized crime. The way they set those LLCs up, remember, Hunter Biden's first job was to work as a fraud investigator at a credit card company. That's a great place to learn how to defraud people learning how to detect fraud, right? Yeah. And the way he set these companies up, remember when he set them up, he wasn't a drug addict.
Yeah.
And he set them up to deceive the federal government, to deceive investigators from realizing that they were from scandalous sources in adversarial countries. And then they sent the money to the Bidens after they had been laundered in the form of incremental payments. This is organized criminal activity. The Bidens have violated and committed countless financial crimes. And I would argue that Joe Biden was the central figure. I agree with Tony Bobulinski. I agree with Jason Galanis. And I agree with Devin Archer. Joe Biden was the central figure in the Biden family influence peddling scheme.
Do you think there's a moment, based on how many people have testified that were a part of this? When you talk about the gentleman you just named, all three of them, were pretty well versed in all things Biden. They're on record. Okay, they have testified that Biden was the brand. Is there a threshold that we could possibly clear that would get the media to acknowledge the malfeasance or at least demonstrate some intellectual curiosity? Or do you believe they're just in full-blown human shield mode?
I would have honestly answered that question differently a few months ago. I would have said, yes, I'm hopeful that we can get to that point. But we are well past that point in reality.
Uh-huh.
And the media is still in full-blown shield mode. The media hates Donald Trump.
Yeah.
All they justify their misreporting and disreporting on the basis that what they're doing is for the good of democracy. They really believe Donald Trump's a threat to democracy, and they believe that people are uneducated and they'll believe anything. You know, just because the media writes no evidence, they believe that people will believe it, and their people do.
Mm-hmm.
But most Americans don't, you know.
Yeah.
The conservative, tax-paying, God-fearing conservatives in America know that the Bidens have committed crime. They see the bank statements. They see the money. They've never heard a Biden family member say exactly what they did to receive the money. They know Joe lied about taking money from China. He lied about meeting with all these people that were sending the family money. They know what was going on. But the media, they're not going to change. It doesn't matter how many media appearances, how transparent we are in this investigation, they're not going to change.
Yeah, because you're bringing the receipts. That's what I've realized in this moment is, we're meeting this burden of proof. Is there a world where you will make a referral for some type of criminal charge?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we're getting very close to that point. And I believe that the evidence is overwhelming.
Wow.
And look, no one's disputing in the media or on the Democrat side that Hunter Biden and Jim Biden didn't commit a bunch of financial crimes. Mm-hmm. Nobody's disputing that.
Yeah.
Where there's dispute is, well, you haven't proven Joe did anything wrong, even though Joe lied. You know, Joe's family received bribes. If you look at the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, a bribe is defined as money given to a family member. Look at Menendez, what they charged him on. His defense was, and ironically, Menendez has the same attorney as Hunter Biden, Abby Lowell. Their defense was, well, it didn't go to the politician, Menendez. It went to his wife, just like what the Democrats are trying to say. Well, Joe didn't get the money. It went to Jim and Hunter. It doesn't matter. Family member, that's the same. Immediate family member is the same.
Wow.
And if Joe didn't know, it's like I said in my opening statement, he was either complicit or incompetent. Now, are they going to plead the elderly old man with dementia card again like they did with her? Or he was complicit, one or the other.
Yeah. What a time to be alive, man. I mean, it is something, man. We've been watching and there's no good answer. Because exactly what you just said, you're either complicit in some type of influence peddling scheme, or you're going to tell me you're mentally unfit to stand trial. There's no version of this that ends with he should be in the Oval Office.
Right. Yeah. If your son, who's living in your house, remember, mm-hmm. he was living mm-hmm. in the house with yeah. Joe in Delaware mm-hmm. when he was getting a bunch of this money from China.
Yeah.
So if you didn't know what's going on in your own house, do you really need the nuclear code? Are we really going to expect you to secure the border?
No. Well, you know? No. That ship sailed a long time ago. Right. But you're right. No, you are spot on. But what's so fascinating about the moment we're living in is if there is a referral made for criminal charges, they're going to start howling, "How dare you? It's an election year." As Trump's been indicted 91 times by the other side.
Yeah. It's
a clown show, man. It's amazing.
It is a clown show. And it's just like every day the media attacks me. I live in a little town, 2,500 people. I'm the biggest tourist attraction in that town, Jimmy, because of all the reporters and the opposition research that go to there.
Yeah.
And they stand out like a sore thumb. They can tell when they get out of the car and see their little Gucci slippers that they're not from, my Red Wing boot wearing hometown. And they waddle in there, tiptoe in there to the court, and they do all these open records requests, and they won't do anything on Biden. They just want to investigate me, and it's like, you investigate me all you want.
Well, listen.
At the end of the day, what did the Bidens do to receive $30 million from our enemies around the world?
Yeah.
And why did Joe Biden lie about it? That's the summary of this investigation.
Yeah, it's a good point. James Comer on the line. He does not wear Gucci slippers. We have confirmed.
There were some questions.
Thank you for putting the rumors to rest. We weren't sure. Personally, I thought they were Prada or Versace myself, but I'm glad to know you're still Team Red Wing with the rest of us, Comer.
That's right.
Listen, man, we appreciate your time. Keep fighting that good fight, brother.
Thank you.
You're the best. There he goes, James Comer from the 1st Congressional District of Kentucky. House Oversight and Reform Committee Chairman. He is not wearing the Gucci slippers. In case there was any doubt about whether Comer was wearing a Gucci slipper. I just laugh. Because if you are in a town of 2,500 people in Kentucky, you do get what the media does look like. There's a vibe, there's an energy, there's this condescending sneer. There's this fish out of water thing where they're like, what the hell? Because they're in, Comer is from America. America with an apostrophe. My people, America. What do I tell you every day? If you live in the flyover states, that's what they call you in the media. The flyover states. We wouldn't stop there. Those are the states you fly over between New York and California. They're the flyover states. That's what they call you. Okay. You guys have the best racket in the world. Okay. Your taxes are a lot lower. Okay, houses are a lot more affordable. You're not so crowded. Okay, you know what? You live in a flyover state. You know what I live in? I live in a drive-over state. Okay, everywhere you drive, there's a needle, there's some poo. Oh, it's gross. Yeah, exactly. I wish I could fly over this state, but unfortunately, I have to land here. It's a mess. Back after this.
He's the most talented man on the radio, but he needs your help.
We all know somewhere underneath all of that bright color, there's a man who's not right.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl, it is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We are in the bottom of the ninth on this here program. It's been a day of breaking news. What with the appellate court lowering the bonds for Donald Trump to have his appeal heard. So essentially what happened really quick, so we're all on the same page as you sign off and head to your respective television set. Maybe you stick around for another radio show. Who could blame you? Radio's the best. Because we have room to have a conversation, It's the thing about radio that I've always loved so much, especially when I was a cab driver, is how it can, kind of pick up the workday because you get three entertaining hours and something to do. As we get off the air, Shohei Ohtani is getting ready to speak out on the gambling scandal that involves his translator in some capacity and millions of dollars in gambling debts.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
I do not know. As someone who did a little bit of a gambling in his 20s, and by a little bit, I mean enough to nearly have my legs broken on several occasions. The thing about the Shohei Ohtani story that still jumps out at me is crazy, and I don't have all the details, is illegal bookmakers, which is who he was, you know, ostensibly gambling with, do not give someone like his interpreter $5 million worth of credit unless they know there's serious money behind it.
When you're right, you're right, and you're right.
But I think we'll have to get to the, you know, brass tacks in terms of finding out just what these dollar amounts were and what the circumstances were under which they were owed, and I don't know that we have those answers yet. But when it comes to the Trump hearing, we do have answers. He has to pay in 10 days. He's vowing to do it in cash. And the fascinating aspect to all of this is that he's putting up this money so he can appeal a verdict in a case in which a judge ruled that he was inflating the value of his properties. Now, to be clear, no one, not a single solitary person in real estate, agrees with the Trump's assessment of Trump's property values. Mar-a-Lago was deemed an $18 million property, an $18 million property, okay, by this judge. Knowing it sits next to properties that are worth $100 million and $200 million and $155 million. But again, the point is, Trump's tax bill is for a hell of a whole lot more than $18 million on that property. So if we're going to take the judge at his word that it's only worth $18 million, shouldn't they owe Trump a big tax refund?
I think he's got a point.
Yeah, the point is the whole thing's a scam. You don't have to like Trump, okay? It's not my job. I get on the radio every day, and I just try to give people an easy way to digest hard news. That's what we do. Take the issue serious. We don't take ourselves seriously at all. But what they're doing to the country right now is they're so desperate for power, okay? They really have, in a lot of ways, become the child who doesn't want to share the toy. I've said this to you before. You've all been on a road trip, two kids, one of them has a toy, doesn't want to give it to the other kid. And they start, tugging on it back and forth. The next thing you know, they break the toy in half, and now nobody has anything to play with. Okay, that's what they're doing to the country. Okay, we've got, and I want you to think about this. If James Comer, who just got off the line, refers Joe Biden for prosecution, refers Hunter Biden for prosecution, and someone is put on trial, what's the first single thing every Democrat is going to say? Oh, this is an election year. Come on, you can't try him during an election year. It's politically motivated. You can't do this stuff, they'll say with a straight face. While Donald Trump has been indicted 91 times in, yup, you guessed it, an election year. It's all a scam, man, but it's bad for the country. I don't have a solution in terms of how you help it other than, yo, we need more people to chill out. Because too many people in this country are so hell-bent on beating the other side. People you don't even know. Okay, that's the vast majority of America right now who hates the other political party. You're in a road rage argument with people that aren't even on the same highway as you. You don't even know them. You know nothing about them. It's also why road rage in general is stupid. Okay, so you're going to get in a fight at a red light. Somebody's going to hit you with a bat. And you're going to get shot at because some guy you didn't know, some guy you might even have the same values as, wants to get ahead, you won't let him get ahead, or vice versa, somebody cut them off. It's stupid. That's the point I'm trying to make, and I say it all the time.
Never hit anyone in anger unless you're absolutely sure you can get away with it.
Well, in this instance, never tear your country in half unless you're sure you can get away with it. And the God's honest truth is, you can't get away with it, okay? You need this country. It's the greatest source of good the world has ever known, so maybe stop wrecking the damn thing. Chill out a little bit, and we'll be back to do it again in the morning. Until then, be a Republican, be a Democrat. Just don't be a...
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.